Well, thank you all for staying, and appreciate that, and trust that God will bless His Word. I would like to read just a couple of verses in 1 John 4 and 10. 1 John 4, verse 10. Here is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let's just ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the privilege that we had of remembering Him this morning, His sufferings on the cross. And we thank Thee that we can say the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, we would pray for Margaret and Ed and the family today. And our hearts go out to them. And there are others, Lord, that are sick, and we pray for them also. Father, we pray to give us help now. Bless Thy word. Lift up our souls. And Father, we just ask for blessing now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Now, I'm going to try. It's not usually my subject. But I'm going to try to speak about the love of God. And God knows that I love Him. And I do appreciate Him. And I love the Lord Jesus. And I love my wife. And I love my children. And I love the world of sinners. And I try to love my enemies. And I can't do it. But if the Spirit of God helps us, I believe we can. I really believe we can if we let the Spirit of God work through us. And the reason I sort of decided to take up this subject was the last time I spoke at the mission in Lansing, my subject was pretty tough and I was pretty plain. And they come there to eat. And just before I finished, these people got up and walked out. And so I thought, you know, maybe I preach too hard. And so today I'm going to try to be just a little bit tender, if I can. It's not my nature to be tender. You ask my wife about it. She knows me better than I know myself. Okay. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is wonderful. And yet, when we look through the Bible, we realize that the hatred of man towards God is severe. And we have a tendency not to appreciate the love of God, nor do we always let it shed abroad in our hearts. God has shed His love abroad in our hearts. And we are to love as God loved us. And I'll tell you right now, before I got up, I'm having a little difficulty. Because this morning at 5 o'clock, my mind was just full And now, right now, it's empty. So, Bob, you be ready. So, the love of God has been people have tried to express it in different ways. Think of the hymn writer when he wrote, "Could we with ink the ocean fill?" And were the skies of parchment made? And every...
A quill.
And every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God across the sky would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole if stretched from sky to sky. You think about that. You think about the author of that hymn. And yet, if we are in the Spirit, we can't even begin to comprehend what is the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. And John ends his gospel and he says, if all the books were written that should be written, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. God's love is far greater than we could ever comprehend. Not only God's love is greater, but love is the greatest gift. Love is the greatest that God has given us. And the principle in the Bible is that God is love, and in Him is no darkness at all. God loves us, and God loves you as an individual. Paul made it very plain. He said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And I trust that if there's anyone here today and you have not tasted of the love of God, oh, taste and see that He is good. God loves the world. Imagine that. God loves the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Greater love hath no man that he should lay down his life for his friends. But while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Have you ever taken that in? Have you ever understood that the Son of God, He loves you? He bore your sins upon the cross. He died for you. He laid down His life. And not only that, He suffered for your sins. Wasn't that a lovely meeting this morning? The sufferings of Christ. Who can know the height or depth, nor length, nor breadth of His suffering? He suffered untold agony, and He suffered what I should have suffered in hell for all eternity. God's love is so great. People ask, well, if God's love is so great and God loves so much, why is there so much hatred in the world. And why is there so much evil? That's a good question. But the amazing thing is that God loves sinners. That's amazing thing that God puts up with us. And it's amazing that He has blessed sinners. You know, I was surprised after I left work that many of the people that I worked with, not as a result of my own self, but I would meet them. And they had gotten saved. And nearly everyone that I had seen that told me that they had gotten saved where I met them, and there's a verse that says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." Maybe you think you've got problems today. Maybe you're angry at God because of those problems. And maybe you think God is not treating you right. You know, many of those people that have come to me, it's because God took away a child. God brought sickness into their life. Different problems that came into their lives. And the older I get, the more people that I see that after they had been through childhood, and maybe multiple divorces, maybe all kinds of difficulties in life, they find out that there is someone that loves them. And that person is God. No matter if all your friends forsake you, and you might say, "Nobody loves me." That little song came in. "Nobody loves me, everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms." Anyway, sometimes people feel like that. Nobody loves me. We can tell you from the Word of God that God loves you and He doesn't want anything more than that you should accept His love that was displayed at Calvary when the Lord Jesus died for your sins upon the cross. Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you can become a friend of God today if you'll just accept that love and trust the Lord Jesus. Now, that's all I'm going to say about the love of God for right now. Maybe I can't help it getting back to it. But that's the love of God that we cannot even begin to express. But now there's another relationship, and it's the husband and the wife. And I hope that I can stand here honestly and say that I love my wife. We've been together for 57, yes, she has to remind me at times. But we've been together for 57 years, and we love each other, but we're not perfect. But in Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church." Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Now, every husband needs to keep that in their mind, because that's the standard. And we can't even begin to comprehend the love of Christ. He never fails. He loves us, and He will love us unto the end. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. One time I went out east with a preacher. And it was an interesting experience for me, because we went into New York and we went to these tenement houses. It was interesting. It was just about the time when the hippies came in. And these houses, some of them were just as dirty, filthy holes. And some of them were clean as a whistle. There were all kinds of people. It was just an interesting time. Because when you knocked on that door, you didn't know what was coming. And during the day, we would knock on doors. And in the evening, we had Bible readings. I can just picture this one place. Because I wasn't used to a house dressed in black. Went to the door and knocked on the door. And here opens this door. Everything inside that house was black. I felt like the devil was there. It was awful to look at that house. And the people I met there, they're still in my mind. Sometimes you meet people and you can't even forget them. Then at night we went to the Bible reading. Beautiful Bible readings, studying the Word of God. People were coming. And later I found out that here was this man that had taken all kinds of part in this Bible reading. His wife never came. Acted so spiritual. Gave so much help in the Bible class. But those meetings ended. There was no further work done there. The problem was that man. That man was cruel. Cruel to his wife. You cannot be cruel to your wife and expect God to bless your home. Or expect you to be a blessing in the assembly. I say this because I have known homes where the wives have suffered because of their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ love the church. Now, if there's someone that meets that standard, God bless you. Because we fail so often. And yet, thank God, God is a merciful God. And that love that forgave me all my sins, we ought also to forgive one another. And that's the only thing that will keep a household going. Now then, love your children. It's interesting to me to go through the Bible and look at the different families. Can you imagine, one of the families that's probably the most interesting and we know the most about is Joseph's family. Look how he was treated. And yet, look at what he became. There was Joseph despised, rejected, hated, abused. And he turns out to not only be the savior of his own family, but the savior of the world at that time. What an example of family. You think of David and his family. Here were all these brothers. They were all great, big, tall, strong men. Here's David. He's just out feeding sheep. And God looks on him and he chooses that young boy. Keeping sheep. You know, I enjoy my Sunday school class. And if there's anything that would please me more is if one of those boys would make up their mind while they're young that they're going to serve God. This world needs men that will serve Him, that will serve God, and that will not please themselves, but that will please God. And you're not too young to hand out a gospel paper or to speak to someone about their soul. Then I'm thinking also that there's the love of the brethren. I'm thankful for the assembly here in Grand Rapids. I'm so thankful for it. They've been so good to Nancy and I and our family. But I'm sure that some of you here know that I'm a little bit of an activist. I'm out on Facebook. There's probably some of you here that know everything I say, but you sit back there with your ears on, and that's all you do is have your ears on. You don't say anything back. But, you know, there are some sites on that I visit, and you may not know I visit them. Sad to say, Christians today do not love one another as they should. There are sites out there that call themselves X. And they call themselves other names. I'm not going to tell you the sites, but they're sites of people that have been treated, and I'm sure that we're to blame as much as the people that offended them. And I go out to those sites, and there's people that I know and I write them a personal note, because I know what they're going through. But I have learned to keep my mouth shut, maybe, because it's so easy to let it slip. I had one young lady that come to children's meetings when I had them, and she was so bitter. Don't ever let your heart get bitter towards the brethren. You get your heart right. You take care of yourself, and God will take care of them. Don't let your heart get bitter. Bitterness will destroy you. Love never fails. Love never fails. And a person knows when you love them. A person knows when you love them. Now, how about what I mentioned at first? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. I can't do it. And neither can you. But I can tell you this, that if I will let the Spirit of God come into my life, and if I will let the Spirit of God rule my spirit, it is possible. It is possible to love your enemies. And one of the best ways that I can think of would be to start praying for them. Start praying for them. That's going to help. And you look it up in the Bible. It tells you how to do good. Do good to those who despitefully use you and curse you. Do good to them. Now that's another tough one. But I believe that if I am living in the power of the Spirit of God, that it is possible to love your enemies and to pray for them. Now, I would just like to, for just a few minutes, reiterate to those who possibly are in this meeting and that are not saved. I would hope that you would not leave this room without knowing the love of God, and not just knowing about it, but having that love of God just shed abroad in your heart. There's nothing like seeing a newborn soul. A person who has just found out that God loves them and that Christ died for them. And that just by accepting the sacrifice that he made at Calvary and realize that he died for you. The minute you understand that, you are saved. You know, it was interesting to me. I'm not saying this to be political, although I'm sure that if you went out on the internet, you'd find that I do have opinions. They sent me an email the other day, and it was about Ted Cruz. And the internet, or the thing that came, you might have got it too. Anyway, it said he was a Christian. So they tell me somebody's a Christian and I know he's a public figure, and I want to have some evidence. And so I begin to read down, and Ted Cruz's mother and father were both alcoholics. And they lived in Canada. Now, I'm not trying to say that where his birthright is. But he lived in Canada, and the mother and father couldn't get along. And so Ted Cruz's father went to Texas. His mother stayed in Canada. And Ted's father accepted the Lord Jesus in Texas. And he went back to Canada. And Ted's mother got saved. Ted was then in a Christian home. And as a boy, he went to a camp. And while he was there at that camp, he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Now, I read that paragraph, and I like to, when I hear somebody tell how they got saved, I'm one of those people, I like a time, where, a place, when, and a manner, how. That's the way I was brought up. And I had one of those experiences at camp. I was at camp one time over at Gull Lake. And I would happen to be on the last bunk. I'm going to quit here. I don't want to keep you late. I'm going to let you out early if I can. Anyway, this man, I was on the last bunk. They had all said I was saved such and such a time, such and such a date. I was on the last bunk, and I just said, I'm not saved. So this man took me out. I can tell you his name, but I guess I'll try to keep that confident too. But I've never forgotten his name. Took me out, set me down, read me John 3:16, said, do you believe that? I said, yes. He said, you're saved. Okay? Ted Cruz. He went to a camp. He professed to be saved. The next paragraph told it all. He gave a clear, concise, simple statement that he understood that Jesus Christ died for his sins on the cross. That's all I've got. And that's all that you can have today. You can't get any more than that. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't pray for it. It's just there. There for your acceptance. Christ died for your sins. And the minute you accept that, the minute you receive it, the minute you believe it, the minute you take hold of it, everlasting life. How much simpler can God's salvation be than that? So simple. Don't ask me why it took me 4 weeks to come to it, plus 15 years in Sunday school. Well, if you count just from the age 5, even though I'm just like these here, they carried me as a baby. What a wonderful thing. What a privilege you children have had. And I hope that there's none here that are not saved because you need to be saved. Christ died for your sins. Believe it. Saved on your way to heaven. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we just thank thee for the love of God. We don't even know how to express it. And yet we feel it. And we know it. And we can tell it. And we can speak to others about it. And Father, help us to show it in our lives that we love one another. And we as husbands, that we might be faithful and true and loving with those we have chosen. And Father, we think of how that we have the privilege of displaying the relationship that Christ has with his church. And we can display that love in our homes that it might be a testimony to others. Again, we would pray for Margaret, and we think of those in the Rest Haven homes, and we think of those here that are not well. We pray for Roy and Mrs. Mosley and others, Lord. We just ask thy blessing and thy healing. We just thank thee for the gospel, and we pray that thou wilt bless it. Lord, we just ask thy blessing upon this day. Remember the meeting in the jail tonight. And Lord, we just pray for thy word wherever it goes forth. And we ask thy blessing upon it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.